of our tithes and offerings, Lord. We bring these in sacrifice to your holy name, for you indeed, our Lord, are worthy, worthy of all of our praise, all of our life, because you save us, because you have given us so much amazing grace in our lives to be called your children. And so, Lord, we know in your word that you tell us that as children we can come to you and that you have bread, bread not only for eternal life, but for our bodies, to heal us, to nurture us, to make us well before you. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask that as we hear your word proclaimed to us today, that you would encourage our hearts, that you would encourage us to seek your face in all of our days, not just on Sunday morning, but all of our days throughout the week, that in the little things and the big things, Lord, we can come to you as even little children come to their parents to ask for a plethora, all kinds of different things. Lord, we come to you today to ask in way of healing for people that are in our midst and maybe can't even be in our midst because of sickness. Maybe they're laid up in bed this morning and can't come to join us here at Westwood. We think of John Ryan and how long he's been involved with us as a church and running the Awana program for so many years, and now because of his physical condition can't get out of the house. And we pray for him and Eileen, and pray for the physical struggle they have day in, day out. Lord, we also know family members, those that are around us, that are ailing and that have difficulty, and maybe even colds and flus this morning, Lord, that prevent them from being here this morning. So many of us have fallen ill to the flu bug during this season. We just pray over those ones that are struggling even now with that. Lord, we come with open hands. We thank you that you are for us, that you indeed are good. You're a great God and a good God to us, your children. Thank you for blessing us with this opportunity this morning to come into your presence, to worship you with all that you are, all that we are. And we pray, Lord, this morning that you would meet us by your Holy Spirit's presence and anointing upon each of us today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Please be seated. Thank you for praying along with us. I hope you would have your bulletin in hand. Isn't this a great bulletin? It's the bigger version this morning. So it's got our announcements on the left-hand side of the page. On the right-hand side of the page, we have the message that's going to be preached, sermon notes. So if you have a pen in hand, you can take some notes as to what God's Word is speaking to your heart this morning. So this morning's sermon is entitled, Jesus Began His Ministry with Healing. Jesus began his ministry with healing. And we're looking back at the Gospel of Matthew. And, of course, James Sinsel, who was here with us last week, talked to us from this passage in Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to continue on with that. We know that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. And in that temptation, Satan came to him. And Jesus, by the word of God, directed Satan in way of what God's intent was and God's will was in way of his life. 40 days of weakness and temptation, and yet Jesus remained strong in body and in spirit. And then I believe here in Matthew isn't so much chronological, but he goes on to talk about Jesus' ministry and how that ministry was begun, what it looked like as Jesus moved from that place of temptation in the wilderness to a place where he was seeking to minister God's word, God's truth to people, telling them about God's kingdom coming to earth, that kingdom very real and very present in way of Jesus' very presence with people. And then we come to this passage in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, down to verse 25, and I would read that for you this morning. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Well, God's word is powerful. And it says here in our text that Jesus came to them as a light. As we begin looking at this passage and a little further up, it says in chapter 4, verse 12 and following that Jesus came to John, who had been put in prison, and he withdrew from Galilee, leaving Nazareth. And then there's a quote here at verse 16 from the book of Isaiah. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Well, in this initial passage that is quoted from the book of Isaiah, the text actually says in Isaiah that it wasn't that the people were walking in darkness, but Matthew changes that walk to sitting in darkness, and the NIV has it living in darkness. People were at that time were very much in a situation of darkness and hardship and difficulty because the Messiah had not come. The Roman government was overruling them as the people. They felt oppressed, but they felt oppressed, I believe, also spiritually. And perhaps that might be your situation today. As I woke up this morning and looked out again at the cloud-filled skies and the rain coming down, we really are ensconced in darkness sometimes here in the Lower Mainland, aren't we? We know what darkness is. And really, in way of these people, they were suffering with this sense of darkness. But Jesus came to proclaim, and Isaiah said there would be a bright light of God's glory shining upon the people. And for us, when we are getting depressed because of the darkness, Jesus comes to us as a bright light. In verse 16, again, a light has dawned. A light has dawned. How did Jesus bring that light into people's lives? Well, it says as this, at verse 23 again, that he came healing every disease and sickness among the people. He came proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, preaching that good news of the kingdom to people's lives. And this was almost like a slogan in the Gospel of Matthew. Yes, he begins here with it, but there's numerous other occasions where Jesus uses these same words, and Matthew has him speaking these same words of proclaiming, teaching, and also healing people. There's actually a couple different occasions, chapter 9, verse 35, chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, chapter 12, verse 15, chapter 14, verse 34 through 36, chapter 15, verse 30, and chapter 19, verse 2. And almost each time these words, Jesus came teaching, preaching, and healing are used. So it almost like a slogan of what Jesus did in his ministry. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Matthew wants us to get that. Stressing the validity of Jesus' identity, of course, as the Son of God, who it was that was proclaiming this through his miracles, showing forth the truth of his words, the truth that the kingdom was indeed come to earth through the power that he exuded through his healing. So first of all, seeing Jesus for healing. Jesus is called Savior and healer. In the Alliance, we have our fourfold gospel, our slogan, and one of those aspects of the fourfold gospel, the logo that we use, is Jesus as our healer. So we ought to come to Jesus and see Jesus as our healer. He came, as the text says, healing every disease. That's everything from A to Z in way of disease. We can't say, well, you know, I got a cold, so that doesn't quite, you know, figure in, or I've got this or I've got that. You know, Jesus can't heal that. Jesus can't be involved with that. I better go, you know, and solely seek out the doctors. No, Jesus wants us to come to him. As of old, in the text, Jesus says that every person that came to him was healed. The consequence, I believe, of Adam and Eve's sin was immediate. They were spiritually told that they were going to die spiritually. And at that instant, I believe when they sinned, they died spiritually. Of course, there was a few years afterwards that they actually died physically. They remained physically alive, but they died eventually. Every car has an engine in it, and it provides power to move that car. When we buy a car, we look for comforts now. We look at the seats, you know, are they velour or are they leather? We look at the dashboard, you know, what kind of stereo is in that dashboard? What are the tunes like? You know, has it got nice speakers? Is the sound good? And then, of course, we look for arm space and rests for our arms and maybe even a cup holder. But we don't want to be distracted, so we're not supposed to drink coffee and stuff in our cars anymore. So I don't know if they're going to take out those cup holders now and maybe places to put your cell phone. Well, if you start focusing on just the creature comforts that are in the car, you really lose out the purpose that the car was designed for, don't you? If your total focus is on, okay, you know, how much headroom is in there, you know, what does the carpeting look like, yada, yada. If that's what you're all about, you miss the whole purpose of the car. The car is to get you from point A to point B. That's what the car's purpose is. But if you start focusing upon just all that you make you comfortable inside the car, it's not going to be there for you in way of what the car was actually designed for. And so with our lives, our lives are designed that we would have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our purpose, that the Creator designed us to have a loving relationship with him. And if we focus on all the things that this life offers in way of our homes and our cars and on with the physical things, but also the immaterial things as well, if that becomes our focus, we lose out on the total focus that we need to have, which is our design and purpose, is to have that relationship with the living and true God. There is a lot of good things in life, and I believe that. And it's not that we shouldn't enjoy the good things of life, but if we miss out on that purpose of getting to know Jesus, the major intent of our life, we lose out and we miss the most important facet of our lives. The crowds that came to Jesus were recognizing that they needed physical healing. But just as much as they needed physical healing, a lot of them needed spiritual healing as well. Spiritually, they needed to call Jesus Savior. They needed to see him as their rescuer. Seeing Jesus for healing should be foremost in our lives, but not in way of more so than spiritual healing and connecting with God spiritually. Well, secondly, healing as a manifestation of the kingdom coming. Miracles of healing were only a part of Jesus' ministry to the people of that day. He came preaching and teaching, giving forth the kingdom of God and talking to people about the kingdom of heaven. It's mentioned 32 times in this gospel that he comes with talking and preaching and ministering about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And really those two terms are interchangeable in Matthew and the other gospel writers. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. The light that Isaiah prophesied about was Christ's preaching of this kingdom. Christ's preaching of this kingdom. The kingdom of God has God as the king. So when there's a king, we are designed as his creatures to follow him. Today we experience a crisis of commitment because we don't understand what it means to truly follow God from our hearts. Somehow we have assumed that Jesus just came to heal us for our betterment. And it's all about us. But healing here is integral to Jesus' ministry and preaching about the kingdom, the truth of the kingdom come. We are called to live and follow God in a kingdom mentality. We don't follow our own dictates anymore. We follow the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, for his design and his purpose in our life, not our own design and purpose. Thus, the gospel is not simply a matter of believing, but it's a matter of following. Following the King's dictates to our lives. Sometimes we think that it's just in believing certain principles and certain ways of behavior. But no, it's much more than just believing something. It's finding out what God's will is for the world, that the world might know him, and then seeking to follow him in way of giving of ourselves to his purpose and his design that the world might know. Health and healing come in life when we change from merely believing in Jesus in a spectator sport kind of fashion to being a follower of Jesus, an active player in the game, so to speak. So a lot of us can be very much ensconced in way of saying, well, I'm just going to believe. I'm just going to hear God's word proclaimed to me. But really, in what Jesus was proclaiming of the kingdom was not just an easy believism. It was more so a following of the King of Kings, becoming an active participant in ministry and seeking to serve others around us and to proclaim his kingdom come in other people's lives as well. Thirdly, healing face realities. Matthew is quite clear that Jesus healed every kind of disease, sickness, and spiritual oppression. He was really a one-man healing machine. There was no case that he would have to refer to another physician. He had everyone come to him. He was a specialist in any kind of disease or problem that people were suffering with. He never said, well, let me check the medical encyclopedia here. I'm not, too sure about that one. No, he had every answer for every person that came to him. The result was tremendous numbers of miracles being performed. The power to heal was so evident that he attracted huge crowds and a huge following. Wherever he went, people came and flooded to him. To be healed, to be touched by him. And so he amassed a huge following and recognition that indeed something very different was happening in the world at that point. That people were seeing and recognizing that Jesus had spiritual power beyond compare in way of touching people's lives and making them whole. It's a common mistake today to suppose a thing isn't true or real because we just can't see it with our eyes. Suppose I blindfold you so that you can't see. And then I lead you by the arm and direct you, describing the environment around you. And then, even though your eyes are still blindfolded, through my words, you are able to see that environment that I described to you. Through my words, you believe that those things that are around you, maybe it's a chair or maybe it's something else that could lead to a fall or an injury to you, and I direct you around that. You believe those things not because you can see those things, but because of my words to you, that those things are true and that they're a reality. Your reality is just darkness. You can't see. You are believing without seeing with your natural eyes. The great spiritual realities and the facts that God sees and describes in the Bible are just as real to us. Our eyes are blinded in way of the spiritual world, but Jesus says these are the spiritual realities. John 9:39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Faith is necessary for healing. Jesus asked the question, "What must we do that we might do the works of God?" This is his answer in John 6:29. Jesus answered, "The works of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Faith. Believe in the one he has sent. To those who aren't healed, despite faith and looking to Jesus. And there are many people that still die in their physical body. We are still all marching towards that point in our life, in our stories, that we will experience death. So what about that? You know, not everybody is healed and will live forever, right? Even Lazarus, though raised from the dead, eventually died again. Jesus does promise us resurrection life. And when we're going through physical trials and difficulties in our life, he doesn't say, well, just come once in the scriptures, but there's no stopping us in way of coming that we could continue calling on the name of Jesus for healing in our physical person. Secondly, we can trust ourselves into God's sovereign hands despite maybe not experiencing healing in our physical body. Don't assume that you don't have enough faith related to not being healed in your physical body. Many people with great faith never receive a healing they hope for in God. Instead, God chooses to keep them physically afflicted to accomplish maybe a greater purpose for them and those they care for around them. Fourthly, you can accept the pain and embrace God through it. And we all will experience different degrees of physical pain. But in that pain, we can still embrace God and know God's love even in that pain. Fifthly, don't give in to shame. Don't let people make you feel bad about yourself because they think your illness or injury is a result of your lack of faith or on your part. Rest assured that only God really knows how much faith you have, so others people's judgment shouldn't matter to you. Use your praying to bring God glory in your life. While your illness or your injury limits you, there's no limit to the amount of glory you can bring to God by choosing to trust him in the middle of your pain. Live with gratitude for each moment that you have breath. Look at small things and large things and know that God still loves you completely and ultimately. Live in the reality of his kingdom come, but not fully realized yet. And so in our physical bodies, though we waste away, we be renewed in our spiritual person to greater glory and to greater strength, till one day we meet him face to face. So we want to take opportunity today to offer opportunity according to James chapter 5 that Pastor Joe read for us earlier, to be encouraged as God says that if we have pain, if we have suffering, We are to call upon the elders of their church, our leadership, to pray over us, confessing our sins to one another and to God, and to asking Him for healing and anointing on our physical bodies, our spiritual bodies, our emotional bodies. The power doesn't rest in the eldership or the leadership in the church. The power rests in Jesus Christ Himself. He ultimately is our healer. And so we come to Him and we want to take opportunity this morning to do just that. So I'm going to call the gentleman that I've appointed here this morning and lady to come forth. And so Jim and Velma will be here, Rob and myself here, and Larry and Rick over on this side. And I've got a bit of oil here in the front pew with some Kleenex, gentlemen. If you can grab some of the oil there. On the overhead, on the PowerPoint slides, we have four slides for you as a congregation to be praying for. Of course, you can pray for those ones that are coming forward as well for anointing. And maybe for yourselves, you have a family member that you particularly want to pray for as well. There's nothing saying that you can't pray for those ones. And maybe even you want to come up and ask us to pray for them with you. You're welcome to do that. But as a congregation, we want to give you opportunity to pray together. Maybe you can circle in two or three, nudge some people beside you, get close to them, and say, hey, here, let's pray for a few of these things. Pray for those that are around you. Pray for those that are with you. Pray also for some of these items that we have on our PowerPoint to let you know on a good blessing that we've received. The Adji family, our second refugee family, have now been appointed to come to us in March the 14th. So we're very excited about that opportunity, but we have to find an apartment for them, and we have to furnish the apartment, get it all ready before the 14th. So we'd appreciate your prayers on our behalf and way of finding a good place for them to live. So also the Mahmoud family, Ismail family. Mahmoud, the dad, has been recently suffering with some back pain. You could be praying for him for that. They also need to find some work. They're coming to the conclusion of their sponsorship time. And so we'd appreciate so much for them to be able to find work, particularly Mahmoud, to be able to find a job to support his family in the long term. So those are some concerns. Also for our church, we have a few slides here with some other prayer concerns regarding our church and church ministries. You can pray over those items as well. We might not have time to cover all these prayer items, but this is a time for healing prayer, to seek God. And if you feel so desire and you want to come up and be prayed for by one of these groups of people up at the front, we'd be more than happy to pray for you. And according to James 5, anoint you with oil as well. So be bold this morning before God, asking Him for healing and touches on those concerns that I've mentioned here today. And gather together. This isn't a solo affair. We want people to gather together and pray together this morning. So twos, threes together, lifting up some of these prayer concerns. Or if you feel that you want to come down to the front, please do access either Larry or Rick, Robin, myself, or Jim and Velma here at the front, and have prayer offered on behalf of yourself. So let's spend some time in prayer, praying over these slides, nudging the people beside you to pray alongside you. And we'd love to do that with you together. So just as you feel led, welcome to come to the front as well for prayer. Thank you.
I'll invite you to stand.
Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name.
upon your hearts this morning from Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for joining us here at Westwood Alliance Church. It's so good to have each of you here worshiping God together. You'll notice in our bulletin that we have quite a few announcements, both inside and on the back page of our bulletins this morning. Just want to remind you to continue to pray for the new Syrian family coming. I think that's wonderful, number 8. It's so exciting to hear that they're finally coming, and it's actually almost been 2 years since we initially started the application process. So it's been a long process for us, and here I was expecting they'd be here within a month or two of us initially contacting them and also going through the process of application. But it's so exciting to be able to say, hey, they're coming March 14th now. And we just have to get things ready for them to come now. Also, today we're going to be continuing with our outreach learning. So we'll be meeting upstairs in the library together to talk about the culture of Christianity. And certainly talking about the culture of Christianity, we've had a Judeo-Christian base and a foundation for our society as Canadians. But sometimes that works against us in proclaiming the gospel. And how do we overcome that? How do we speak to people that already feel that, hey, I'm a Christian already, so I don't need the Christian gospel? What can we say? How can we deliver the message of the kingdom in a fresh and new way that people can know that they need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? So come, join us at 11:40 after the coffee break for our outreach learning segment. Also, just want to let you know personally, in experiencing healing in our bodies, that I recently went to talk to my doctor to have an annual checkup. And that was in January. And January 11th, as I was sitting there with my doctor, he said to me, Larry, you have diabetes. And I said, what? You know, how's that possible? And he says, well, you got to lose some weight and you got to go on a stricter diet. And so you got to work on that, bring your blood sugar down. And so he talked to me a little bit about what diabetes is and how that functions in your body. And I said, wow, you know, I didn't see that coming at all. It's a big shock. And he said, yeah, well, lose 20 pounds and, you know, watch your diet now more. And hopefully we won't have to put you on any medication, you know, but come back in 3 months' time and we'll talk. So today I've probably lost about 18 pounds since he told me that on January 11th. So I'm on my way. We have health concerns that people don't see and don't know about. And it was interesting when I visited McLeod this week. He came to Canada because of a result of diabetes. And I told him, I said, you know, I just recently got diagnosed with diabetes. And he said, you know, when I got diagnosed with diabetes, I was 38. And the doctor asked me how I was still standing in front of him. He said he was hospitalized for 12 days. And that was one of the reasons that the family was able to get out of Turkey and come to Canada and be our first refugee family. So we spent quite a bit of time talking, almost 2 hours, about diabetes together, and he was coaching me about different things I can do. And so even in our sickness and our ailments that we have, we can share together and be an encouragement to one another. And when one person is sick, another person can say, yeah, I'm going through the same thing, you know, I'm the same age as you, or and be able to be an encouragement to one another. So don't be discouraged in way of sickness and difficulty in your life, because you can be able to minister to someone else in a unique way. Let's work on our health together and continue to seek God for healing in our lives. Amen? Amen. So please continue to pray for the Agee family coming. We also have our First Nation work that we're going to be starting on the 17th, 18th. We're planning to go back over to Nanaimo. So Pastor Jim Bell has some application forms and some information. If you would like to join us on that short-term trip, talk to Pastor Jim about that, and he will give you an application form. And we're going to need those in pretty quick, because March is coming up very fast. So probably within a week and a half, we need to get those applications in if you're wanting to come and join us on our Nanaimo trip. But do pray for that as well. Great opportunity to serve God. And we're looking forward to seeing what God will do in our midst through our people that will be going. As we risk for God, God meets us in huge and significant ways. And we can really see God's hand through our last trip in Nanaimo. And maybe you want to join us and see God's hand through your life and through your opportunity to minister as well. May you be blessed as you go from this place. Please bow in silent prayer and then be dismissed.